This is Justin Jacobson from the Jacobson Firm, and you're listening to the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. Enjoy the show.
Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
All right, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
All right, everybody, here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's me, Bobby, your junkhead. Call me what you want, as long as you call me your friend. I can't even talk right now because I'm just so, like, flabbergasted with our next guest.
Me.
This podcast would not be possible without the homie, the Beast from Bruges, my brother from another mother. It cracks me up whenever I say that. Joachim Blaze. How you doing, Blaze?
Where's the diva from Twitch? Where's
the diva of the diva of Twitch and the diva of all things content creation, Joachim Blaze. How you doing, Blaze?
I'm good. How's the muscles from Miami doing?
I'm not from Miami.
Florida.
They're doing good. But, yeah, but there's more muscle in here than what we got.
Yeah, we got a really special guest this time. We've actually talked about him, I think, almost every podcast
like
this season.
90% of this is...
It's the man that reached out to us after season one, and we had a really good talk with him, and he was able to put us in contact with a bunch of people that he represents, because he's he had some really interesting guests that we had on the show, so thank you for that. Anyways, without further ado, esports attorney and manager for Ford Esports and Gaming, Justin is with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh,
I don't know if Junkette's got a better intro for you.
No, that just nailed it right there. I mean, normally at this point in time, we always say thank you, Justin, for booking, for hooking us up with all your clients. But so now we get to thank you personally. Thank you, Justin, for all allowing us the time. For one, your busy schedule and your clients' busy schedules. So thank you. It's definitely been season two has been phenomenal because of you and Blaze. He doesn't hear this, but yeah, we have to thank Blaze a lot of times for all this stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, this is like a big one that I've been really looking forward to because I came from an esports managerial side. So, and the esports org I work for had that legal side. And now for you guys out there, this is really awesome because you actually get to learn like the legalese behind it, what it takes. And if you're an aspiring attorney that wants to get into this, this is the perfect guy for you. So, and once again, before I go any further, all of Justin's information will be in the description below. And make sure you guys are checking it out because when I have the extra money, I will be getting the book. And so, I mean, he's an attorney, a manager, even an author. Is there anything you can't? You're like the Renaissance man of esports content creation. Is there anything you can't do?
I can't fly yet. I've been trying, but that's the one thing I know I certainly can't do.
So, you guys, make sure you guys are showing Justin all the love because this guy is phenomenal. I read and I was like, man, I woke up and I think I've done something. And then I was like, I've done nothing. You know, it's like this guy before noon has saved the day. So please, this is the time where you could tell your story of how it started. And then you were like, and when you realized that this is something you wanted to pursue.
Yeah, I'm from my side, I'm really curious how you, because I'm you studied law, right, Justin? So I'm really curious how you went from, studying law and how it evolved to being, involved with gaming and stuff like that. Because I do see a lot of stuff passing by from young kids or guys, certainly with the Fortnite stuff, that joined esports teams and that signed stupid, suffocating contracts that they couldn't get under from, So having a guy like you entering the world of esports and gaming, I think it's kind of a gift. It's a good thing, because I think from both sides, the the esports businesses as well as the players should be protected and should do things the right way, you know, like a regular job or whatever. So anyways, I'm really curious how you got into all of this. So I'm ready to listen to your story.
Well, thank you guys all for the kind words, and I'm glad that you like some of the unique influencers that, you know, we're working with and trying to help. So, you know, I'm Justin Jacobson. I'm an esports and entertainment attorney in New York City, and for the last decade, I've been working in music and sports and fashion and art, and the last 5 years, I've really kind of shifted into the esports and gaming world. So I've worked with pro athletes and musicians and streamers and producers and, you know, artists and fashion stylists and jewelry designers and all kinds of creative people, and definitely very big in the esports and gaming world, working with, you know, as I said, pro gamers, streamers, coaches, casters, teams, brands, and just really handling all their legal and business needs. So a lot of it is focused on copyrights and trademarks and contract and, you know, visas and immigration stuff and corporations and LLCs and business, and just really helping them operate properly. And, you know, as you were mentioning a little before, Blaze, this is a business and you have to really kind of approach it properly. And that's always kind of been my approach to all of this. And as you mentioned, I've also last summer was brought in by Ford Models, which is a high-end fashion modeling agency, to create an esports and gaming talent division under their existing digital influencer platform. So I handle the day-to-day management and development of 20 different gaming talents, including pro gamers and streamers and casts and coach, and really just kind of help them, whether it's trying to find team or brand deals or appearances or press or, you know, anything that's really meant to help them develop and grow and kind of reach different levels in their career, including getting them nice podcast appearances where they can interact and tell their story. So, you know, all the while I was always very involved in the academic scene. I went to GW in Washington, D.C. for undergrad, and then went to Touro Law in Long Island, where I'm from, in New York. And then after that, I just kind of got into the legal world. I ran a marketing and promotional company for music and brands kind of at the same time, and that kind of always gave me this insight and avenue into the other stuff, not just the legal stuff. Because, you know, I always was going to do the legal stuff. It was always going to be something I could do. But I was always a lot more passionate about the other stuff, you know, helping with the EPKs, launching album release parties, doing these live art shows, networking events, things that kind of just are more than just legal. And from that, I was, you know, very involved in the academic side. So I taught a music business class at the Institute of Audio Research in New York for a few years. And you know, this past semester, I taught an esports business class at University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and I have a few classes both at the high school and college level that I'll be teaching in this fall. And what's nice is that the class is all based on my book, which was just released this past February, The Essential Guide to the Business and Law of Esports and Professional Video Gaming. And this was kind of something I felt the industry was sorely needing. And, you know, as Blaze alluded to, there's a lot of new people coming in, signing agreements and made by people that are a lot more sophisticated than the talent usually is. So I was trying to create almost a guide that a player or a coach or a team owner or a tournament organizer, someone that's really trying to get into this area, to give them a guide to understand, okay, well, maybe you should trademark your gamer tag, or there's a value in copywriting your logo, or this is the things you can write off. You know, this is why an LLC or a corporation might be beneficial. All these things that are really part of it and maybe aren't as noticeable and self-explanatory, but once you start reading and understanding why and the benefits you get, people start to understand it. And that was kind of the premise of the book, where I was able to kind of take all this different information and kind of put it in a digestible format, where I think it's not just intended for lawyers or law students, it's really kind of for everyone else, you know, high school, college students, an attorney, an accountant, a business manager, anyone that really just wants to understand some of what goes into the industry and how to operate properly.
Yeah, because
sorry. Do you, we wanted to jump in at the same time. Just go ahead, Junkhead, it's fine. I'll ask my question after.
No, because I think it's really is like, everybody wants, like, especially if you're in esports, everybody wants to be a part of something. Like they want to be a part. Like when I was an esports manager, you know, the legal team for the Apotheon group had their contract drawn up by a legal team. And you would always give it to like players. Like I'd always tell them, make sure you read the contract. You have to understand it. If you need some time to take it to like a lawyer and have them look over it, you know, because I, as a manager, never wanted someone to feel like I'm strongholding them into anything, you know. But, you know, I always said, hey, do me a favor, take a couple days, read the contract, and then send me, you know, like Google Glass, a screenshot of it, you know, copy of the contract till I get the hard copy, you know, back. And every time, like minutes later, they would send it back and then they would be upset. I was like, do you realize that, you know, now I'm not saying we own you, we own you're with the in esports, you know, we have that ability. It's like if you can't just quit. You've signed a legal document. And I'd always advise everybody, make sure you read it. If you're not sure, then, you know, don't sign it. You know, and I always said, you guys have the right to negotiate, you know, like, you know, our contract was like a year, you know, our player contract was a year. And then very few people would be like, hey, can I do a 6-month contract? And I'd be like, you know, sure. Then I'd go to my super, you know, my manager, and then he would go, and they'd like, you know, seconds later, they would just, you know, change the word. Because when you look at all that legal terminology, it's really overwhelming. And you're like, I don't understand this at all. And I had to like get in a party chat with the lawyer side, just so I can explain it to a player. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, everybody wants to be a part of something so bad that they're willing to sacrifice anything just to be a part of something, you know? And I was like, dude, read this, please. Read it, please. And no one would take the time to do it, but they'd sign it right away.
I mean, that exactly what you're saying and exactly what I've seen in the, you know, the last few years. I've seen contracts that I can't believe players have signed. And I saw 10 different players sign it. And, you know, in all these interviews and podcasts that I do, I kind of have the same thing where it's like people are just so excited that, oh, I'm going to get paid to play a video game and, oh, this team wants me. And they just really kind of think that it's take it or leave it. And as I say, if they wanted to be take it or leave it, they would say it. And honestly, if a team is going to rush you and bombard you, which – let's be real. A lot of these teams do. They're not as kind of open that you seem. You know, it's a shock to me to hear that a few years ago, however many years ago you were doing this, you were so open. Because I've seen players where, like, I spent 3 hours going through this 30-page agreement with a player, literally till like 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night. Saturday, we don't hear from him. Sunday, he texts like, oh man, like I just signed the deal. The team just said, like, we want to get going, blah, blah, blah. And it was just, I was just so shocked. And like, I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was just like so confused that like we gave them all these really good points and they're all reasonable. And like you said, maybe you ask for 6 months with an option for 6 months, or maybe you get a raise after. Like there's so many things that if you start thinking outside the box, or if you have a professional whose job it is to think about these things, like when I negotiate with these teams, I almost always get what I want. I don't ask for an obscene amount, you know, like once you kind of figure out the money and what the rate is going to be, the rest of the stuff is just kind of posturing. It's like, does a 6-month or a 4-month non-compete really matter? Like, what is that extra 1 or 2 months really going to do? And it's just kind of, you have to understand that there are certain things that you have to be more, you know, important on and more sophisticated and stronger about. And, you know, that's kind of what the book, you know, there's a really unique chapter in the book that I think is what really sets it apart. Is that I kind of went through a major player agreement and a major coach agreement and caster agreement and a team sponsorship agreement and took out some of the language and tried to explain to you what some of it might mean and tried to give you some negotiation tips for kind of both sides, some considerations, just things that kind of get you thinking outside the box. As you mentioned, where it's like, why should you sign a 3-year deal? Maybe you can get away with a 1-year deal with an option for a 1-year deal. And it could be a mutual option, or it could only be an option if you earn X amount of money. Like, there's so many creative ways that, you know, an attorney who does this can do it that, like you said, just signing it just cause, you know, you're just really shooting yourself in the foot. And I just saw some big Valorant player signed to a mega team that, like, she sent me the agreement. Like, I got back to her like a day later and I didn't hear from her. And then like a couple of days later, they announced that they signed it. So it's like, okay. And I looked at her agreement just for my own curiosity. And I'm like, whoa, I could have gotten you a much better deal than you got on this. And it's just funny that like literally there were certain things that I knew I could have gotten rid of and that would have been beneficial. But, you know, on to the next one.
Yeah, because I had one player that when we had, this is during, I was a manager during H1Z1 at PUBG and Rocket League, and we had one player, and he was like, I quit. And I was like, you do realize you signed a legal contract. And he's like, so I, and like for me, I was like, we have the right to get fair market value. He was like, Team Liquid wants to pick me up. And our management reached out to Team Liquid, and they were like, no, we want nothing. He's like, I'm going to do it. I'm quitting. And I was like, look, you, this is a year-long contract. And he's like, so you legally cannot join another team for another year. Exactly. He's like, well, they'll buy me out. And I was like, they were like, they don't nothing about you. And he was like, well, I'll just sit out a year. And I was like, fine. All right, cool. We'll just let you sit and wait. And then we'll send you the release letter releasing you. And then like a month later,
we just told the agreement, and you would be like, oh, well, since you're refusing to perform, you know, the agreement is told, and it's not, and like you have 8 months left, like whenever you're ready to start, the agreement starts again.
Yeah, so
there's,
I mean,
there's ways to even bench them longer.
Yeah, so yeah, pretty much I was like, so you violated your contract, and every team was like, we want to sign him. I was like, this is what he's worth. They're like, no, thank you. So he had like, we had like four teams approach us, and then they were like, he's not worth that. And I was like, that's fair market value for a competitive H1Z1 player. And so after, unfortunately, the competitive scene didn't last really past that contract. So he was just like, he'd message me, he's like, you ruined my career. And I was like,
Fortnite and PUBG and Apex Legends ruined your career, my friend.
So I don't know. I know Blaze had a question, and hopefully he, at his progressed age, he hasn't forgotten it yet. So
no, I haven't, but I want to pick in on what we're talking about. Like most people that listen to our podcast know that I as a day job, I'm a store manager, right? And I have a crew of 12 people working for me. And even with them, sometimes I need to tell them, like, here's your contract. And they just like, oh, where do I sign? I'm like, did you read it? Do you want to, you know, go? Because we got a union in Belgium, and you can then go to the union, show your contract, and they'll be like, OK, this is OK, or this is not legal, or maybe you should ask this or that. They're like, no, I'll sign it. And like, I just put it in front of them, and 5 minutes later it's signed, even though if I tell them, you know, go and check out your contract. When I got my contract to do the job I'm doing now, I was like, okay, I'll bring it to my union. I'm going to check it. And if it's fine by me, I will send it back signed to you guys, you know? And it's not only in esports, it's a bit everywhere. And I think people should, in general, just be conscious about what they sign sometimes, you know, because it's always easy to, I sometimes see tweets or whatever, and people are complaining about certain contracts they sign. And then I'm like, yeah, but did you think about it when you signed that thing, you know? And
right, did you read what it says?
Yeah, yeah.
These 30-page agreements, and it's like, it's a shame. Like I told you, I had this team where a bunch of kids got, you know, screwed out of thousands of dollars, and there was a clause where the team could terminate it whenever they wanted, but the player could never terminate it. And I'm like, I don't even necessarily know if this is even enforceable. Like, I think if you went to court, they would say that, you know, obviously you can, you know, by law, you can terminate for a material breach that's not cured. So in theory, that clause isn't even probably enforceable. But then I saw 10 players, probably the whole entire team signed it. So it's just kind of like, why would you do that? Which just says you don't even know what it says. You just looked at what the number was and what day you get paid.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of teams, they really present a contract with like the big shiny number of what they, but they don't read that line below it that, like, when I get out of esports management, I've always said, hey, look, I'm there to help out anybody. Any of you guys have something. One guy sent me a contract. He goes, I'm going to sign this one. And I was like, don't sign it. I was like, I'm going to give you friendly advice. He's like, what? I go, see the line where it says what they're going to pay you. But then it says that all money is recovered through online tournaments, and that you only get paid when you compete in online tournaments. And the split, the org gets 80%. And you keep 20. And I was like, so they're saying they're going to give you this money if you compete at online tournaments, but they didn't want LAN event tournaments, only online tournaments. And I was like, so say
they don't have to pay you to go.
I was like, so that if you go to a LAN tournament, that's on you. And it said they are not responsible for travel expenses or anything. I was like, you need to read the fine print, because if you compete in an online tournament and you win a little money, I was like, you are pretty much getting nothing. You get nothing. They get 80%, and they're just sitting back there like, sucker. And I'm just like, and that's why I always say read the fine print. even when, like I said, when I was like giving you a contract, you can negotiate these things, but please read this, because if you sign this, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. And I hate to say that you legally own them, but you know, you are held to a and especially
enforceable. What you sign is real. It's not like, oh, well, I didn't know. It's like, well, if you're over 18 and no one's holding a gun to your head, then it's pretty enforceable.
Yeah, and you're just like, you know, and a lot of these esports orgs have a legal team.
Lawyers, yeah.
That's their job, is to enforce this. And usually you don't want that legal team coming, because I seen one legal team like literally ruin this person. But he did it to himself, you know, and I'm just like, dude, and just stop. Just sit out 6 months. 6 months and you're free. He's like, no, man, I'm doing it. And I was like, and a legal team went after him. And I was
that's
like,
the story of him.
Yeah. And then you don't even hear about him anymore.
We can even move this discussion a bit towards even stream teams, you know, because there's more and more stream teams coming. There's the smaller ones that are made by friends. Me and you have been in one, Junkat.
Yeah.
There's also the other more serious stream teams that attract streamers that stream in their name, that have to promote their brands and everything. And that in the end, what do they get back? And always one of the first questions I asked was like, okay, I'm a partnered streamer. I'm coming to you guys. I have this amount of viewers. I will promote your brand and all the brands around your, you know, stream team. But what in the end do I get back from it? And most stream teams, they like that you see popping up. They don't really offer anything. You know, they just want to kind of ride on the back on the streamers, I feel like. And then when they get more popular through certain streamers and everything, and they get more sponsorships through that, they will maybe give something to them, you know. But I never see a lot of stream teams that really help their streamers in ways like you would need to help them, like give them advice on certain contracts, help them get sponsorships and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I think even there are sometimes contracts signed that are not good, you know. I don't know if you had any experience with that, Justin, but yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where, like, you have to think about what the benefit is of it. And, like, I've had, you know, people I've talked to that I've seen there in these little, like, streamer little clubs, which is cool. You have a bunch of friends promoting each other and liking each other, and that's great. But like you said, if it's just so unfair where there's one person that's like, oh, use my G Fuel code, and, you know, everyone's using this one code, and it's just like, what benefit are you really getting? It's not like the way the traditional team that might sign a content creator is like, okay, well, you're going to be representing our sponsors and, you know, rocking the rocker on all your social media, but we're going to be paying you and you're going to be, you know, getting this benefits that the organization provides you. And, you know, if you're not either getting something, whether it's promotion, or I see a lot of these clans, you get like a video editors and people to make thumbnails for you. And, you know, that stuff's good because you don't have to pay for it. But ultimately, you have to know what you're getting. Do you actually own the rights to it, or does the clan own the rights and you just get to use it? You know, that's where an attorney comes in to be like, okay, well, it's great that you're making me these images or this logo, but who owns the logo? And if I don't own the logo, I can't really make t-shirts or hats or anything with it. I need permission. So it just starts going down these other things that are all examined in my book.
Yeah, and then it's just like, so if I get that logo and I make a t-shirt out of it, and then whoever comes says, like, that's our logo, so we want either all or a major portion of what you're making on, you know, it's like, it's just so, I don't know, because, like,
well, they just don't know, and that's what it comes down to. Like you said, the people, they get the agreement, they're so excited, and they just sign it. They don't, and, you know, I always get this question, like, when is it going to change? When someone that everybody knows gets really screwed. When, like, a Ninja or Nick Merckx gets really screwed because he didn't look at something, and it's like, oh, no, well, if he could get screwed, then everyone else could get screwed. And it's a shame that that's the way people learn, that you kind of have to have someone to be the example and not in a positive light for everyone to be like, oh, well, I got to see what my contract says, or, like, maybe I should have had a lawyer look at it because X, Y, or Z.
I mean, it's like when we did our episode with Fro, and Like, you help find him a place where this organization takes care of him. He's like, he's saying that the representatives from Exet are reaching out. Hey, do you need this? You need this? Do you need this? We'll get you this. You don't need it. We're still going to send it to you. You know, like we're like what Blaze was saying is that we were part of a stream team where like, hey, you have to, you know, our sponsors and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to, because like as a content creator for just speaking for me and hope I speak for Blaze, like there's a value with what we bring to the table, whether it be big or small. So if we're out representing you, but you're not going to, you know, it's like, hey, you're not going to give me like a special code to discount, like say 50% off of a energy drink or something, you know, but I'm paying full price and you're just like, well, because it costs us this much money to make it. I mean, why should we really promote something that we're, I'm not saying that we request something on the back end, you know, but because like we were both in World Best Gaming and World Best Gaming, you know, closed, but you know, they would
know the guy that,
yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but the thing about it is they sent stuff out, but you know, certain people got fed a lot of good stuff, but you know, some of us didn't, you know, we're like, hey, here's something, and I was like, but I'm always grateful for one thing, you know, and that's the one thing I've always liked about Blaze is Blaze has been like that mentor, but like he's been down that road with the sponsorship avenues and stuff, and he's like, hey, that's not a good deal, you know, don't do it, you know, or I'm like, okay, cool, you know, and I always listen to him, you know, because you know, I don't have the power of, you know, Justin behind me, you know, but like, hey, Justin, what's up with this, you know what I'm saying? So it's nice to have that someone that's had that experience like Blaze has, you know, with him, with, you know, he's had Xtrfy and you know, Arazi. Now he's with Monster. So he's had that, and he's a marketing guy. Like me, I'm just I'm an old schlub, you know, so to speak.
He's the gamer. It's all good. We're all just gamers.
My parents did pay for my degree, so I got to show I learned something, you know.
But that's always nice to have someone like all your clients, I'm sure, are 100% really glad that you're in their corner because, like, like you said, so many people do, let's face it, they're, especially with the younger kids in Fortnite, they were so happy to be a part of something that they didn't know what they got into. You know, you're just like, you just got, yeah, it's great to have a jersey, but you know what? Guess what? Your company, that esports org, just made a lot of money on you, you know? So, but one thing I did, so I wanted people to understand, so you're just not like a lawyer. I mean, you come from a family. How many generations of your family are lawyers?
Well, it's just, I work with my dad, who's, you know, been an entertainment attorney for over 35 years. So I've really kind of grown up in this music world. There's, you know, he always tells a story about me getting like serenaded on Mick Taylor of the Rolling Stones' Knee and, you know, Alan Lanier, Blue Oyster or Cult. So I've really kind of grown up in this entertainment world of, you know, backstage and on stage and, you know, behind home plate and all of these really kind of unique entertainment driven stuff. So I've always kind of grown up in it. So like, you know, during college, I was a very big high end nightclub promoter working with a lot of big DJs and the celebrities in New York, DC and London. And then during law school, I was actually managing a pretty big DJ and really just kind of doing it, being involved with talent and development. And I always just love watching that progress. I think that's what I enjoy the most of it, is seeing the transformation and watching them go. Like you mentioned Frozone, it's like, you know, I met him a couple months, you know, he's one of the first people we brought in and started to work with him, started to increase his messagery, give him a little professionalism. And a couple months later, he's starting to really kind of blow up, and we, like you said, get him signed to a major organization. And since then, he's just been participating in all of the major Warzone tournaments and, you know, placing very nicely. And it's just kind of a progression where you sometimes just need the right people to, you know, bounce things off, maybe give you a different idea, maybe get you to think about it from a different way. And, you know, as I always tell people, like, once you get me involved in the conversation, the way I'm going to speak to, whether it's a brand or whether it's a team owner or whether it's anyone, maybe a little bit different than you're going to. My approach, my thought process, me understanding what maybe they're looking for is a little bit different than how you might approach it. And, you know, I've seen firsthand the impact that whether it's me or any other professional can bring in a career. And I always kind of equate it to, there's a reason in the music and sports and modeling and TV and movies and all of these traditional entertainment worlds. It's like, who's your agent? Who's your manager? Who's your lawyer? Like, There's always that first question of, I need to get a deal, I need to get a lawyer, when you're, you know, a musician or a rapper. And it's not as well known in esports and gaming. It's starting to become a bit more common, especially at like the real top, like, you know, the people that are making $10, $20 million on Forbes list. They all have infrastructure. They have attorneys and agents and business managers and CPAs. And, you know, I know the Morgan Stanleys and the Merrill Lynches of the world are working with some of the bigger players. So they have money managers. So it's really starting to become similar to the same way they manage professional athletes and high net celebrities' money. And it's really the same kind of people who are working with pro NBA and NFL players that are getting interested in these esports professionals.
I mean, it's like, because like I've asked you just advice, you know, like we're not affiliated with Ford Models or the Jacobson firm, but I've asked like just, hey, Jay, you know, Justin, what would you say what would we need to do? And like, you've been like giving like just friendly advice, like, hey, plug this to listen to your, for people to listen to your podcast, like little things like that. So it's nice to have that little structure. Like, I'm never going to be like, Justin, what would we do here? What would we do here? What would we do here? Because I know you're overwhelmed. Like you have, like you said, you're not only your lawyer, you manage Ford Models, you have 20 clients you have to worry about. But it's always nice to know someone that's been down that path that I can ask questions to, and you're not going to be like, look, dude, it's going to cost you this much for that information, you know, or buy my book, you know, or something like that.
Oh, buy my book.
But buy the book, you guys, buy the book.
Hashtag ad.
Not afraid. Hey, we're all about plugging stuff in here. Like I've been plugging Blaze's hair replacement surgery for so long. But yeah, no, but I mean, it's nice because it's nice to have someone that you can add. Like I bounce a lot of questions, suggestions off of Blaze, but like for this podcast, I want this podcast to be like my thing. You know, this is, you know, I have the voice for podcasting. Audio podcast, not, you know, visual podcast.
It's,
you know,
it's one of the first things I told you when we were talking when we left the stream team, that I told you that you had a radio voice, remember, Junkhead?
Yeah, because like we were part of the same stream team, and I was like, I left so I could concentrate on this podcast. And then when Blaze came on board, it like really set the tone for what we were doing with, you know, because there's so many like unique podcasts. Everyone's a podcaster. Everyone's a streamer nowadays, you know. I think it's easy to start a podcast, but I think is that if you, like for me, we're looking down the road, you know, with a podcast. And it's nice that a lot of the advice you've given, we've taken, you know, to heart. I was like, maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to do that. And there's some question I've wanted to ask you. I was like, no, look, I'm... like there's everything Justin does, and I'm like down here at the bottom. I was like, eh, we'll wait, you know. And I was like, we'll wait till we get him on the podcast, you know. So, what would be the best advice you would give somebody that's interested in getting into the content creation, the esports side of things, when it comes to starting out?
Well, yeah, you know, as you mentioned, everyone has a podcast. So I actually have my own esports business podcast on Prediction, which is, you know, an esports network where we kind of have guests and we talk esports business. And, you know, I think the biggest advice that I have for anyone that's really trying to get into content creation, whether it's a streamer or just putting out their own YouTube or TikTok videos, is you have to do it right and you have to have a plan. You can't just be posting just cause. You have to have more of a strategic approach to it. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, there are little things that you can do that are pretty well known. You might not know it, where it's like, okay, well, you have this piece of content, say it's a podcast or a video clip. There's ways to kind of tease it, to do little, you know, teasers of it, where you have like a great question and a great response, and it's like, hey, check out this clip. If you want to see the whole thing, click here. And, you know, you just don't think about these things, but these are the ways to kind of get engagement and get people to get a little bit interested without having to listen to the whole 30 minutes to get a really good, you know, one-liner. So I think it's just really kind of thinking about your approach a little bit more strategic and realizing, yes, streaming for 10 hours is great, but if you stream for 6 hours and spend 2 or 3 hours making highlight videos and little different things using the stream and the content that you've done, you might end up getting more than being those two or three extra hours that you would have streamed. And I think it's just kind of getting into that mindset of, again, being more strategic with your approach, thinking about this from a more of, you know, you're a network broadcast at that point. Like, you're creating content the same way a TV station is. So if, you know, a show 5 days a week is a lot tougher than a show that's twice a week or three times a week. You know, it's sometimes, it's not as valuable when it's 5 days a week. Where it's like, oh, well, I can just tune in tomorrow. Where it's like, oh, well, if it's not Friday, I'm going to have to wait till Monday again. And, you know, I think that you have to kind of do these things that create a little urgency in the viewer. And then it comes down to approaching it from, you know, professionally from the start. I think, you know, I'm being a trademark and copyright attorney. The name, whether it's your gamer tag or your team name or your podcast name, like, this is the basis of everything. And, you know, I kind of alluded to whether you trademark your DJ name or your producer name or your artist name or your band name or your record label, like Madonna or Cher or Jay-Z or Beyonce, like, that's not their real names. These are their trade names. This is their, and they own the rights in these names. And there's a lot of value in the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and the Oyster Cult and all of these mega brand names, because they are brand names. But if you don't protect it and approach it that way, the same way Ninja or Shroud or Dr. Lupo or Faker, like, these people have trademarks in their names, most of them.
Or Dr. Disrespect.
Exactly, or Dr. Disrespect or PewDiePie or Tfue. The list goes on and on. But the point is that this is your trade name. You know, his name isn't Dr. Disrespect, but that's what he has a trademark for, because that's his, you know, what he's providing the service under. And you owning rights in these names give you a certain ability that you might not have if you don't register. And I think that another big thing is kind of how you handle your business and finances. Like, there's a big trend now with more accountants and CPAs coming to the space to work with gamers and streamers and essentially people that might not be as familiar with filing their taxes. And then once you have all these international ramifications, especially in, you know, the pre-COVID world where you're traveling all over the world playing in different tournaments, there's a lot of tax implications and a lot of things that if you approach it properly, you can end up saving a lot of money in your taxes. You know, the way you recoup certain expenses, whether it's your equipment or your new game you bought or the VC or the V-Bucks that you're doing a giveaway with. There's so many business expenses that people don't even realize. Again, they're all mentioned in the book as an example. But the point is you have to realize that there's a reason why it's called the music business, the fashion business, the sports business, the esports business. It's because it's a business. And as you had mentioned at the beginning, Blaze, like, as the manager, like, maybe it's not of, you know, an esports team, but you're doing a business. So there's contracts in a business and people sign them, and what you sign matters. So I think it kind of goes back to that point of you need to approach it like a business, and you have to kind of do it from the start, because if you don't, the worst thing's going to happen is you're going to be successful, you know, and you're going to be in this position where you're Tfue, who signed an agreement that maybe didn't have a lawyer look at or didn't look at it enough and didn't maybe foresee that he might become this huge mega star and that this contract he signed might not grow with him too well. And, you know, lo and behold, years later, it didn't grow with him. He wasn't happy with it. He filed a lawsuit. I'm sure he spent six figures plus easily, if not more. And eventually they all settled out of court. But at that point, a lot of the damage was done. All that money that you spent fighting and hassling and stress and anxiety and
The damage on your name as well, or his name or their name, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just this added stress and anxiety. Yeah, and there's just so much of it in the world. To add more when you're at this high level is just, it's just unnecessary. So I think it kind of is one of these things where that's the advice, is you have to approach it professionally from the start. Because if you do it right and you didn't, you could run into issues later.
What is funny, Junkhead, when he was talking, it reminded of some discussions me and you had when we started the podcast at the beginning, remember? When, for example, we were having like a bunch of people that wanted to come on the podcast when we started it, and Junkhead was like, let's do it twice a week. And I was like, no, let them wait. One time a week is fine, you know, people have to get excited to get to listen to the podcast. So we'll do it once a week, you know. And then we started the idea. I think you started that idea where we started to do the teasers junket. So I think, you know, what you were telling gives me a feeling that on some ways we're on the same length, Justin. And that's really nice to hear that we kind of already had the ideas, like you're giving the advice, that's what people should do, you know. So I really think that's it's nice to hear that we did it the right way, you know. The only thing we should maybe do or think is you know, to fragging and lagging, that we maybe need to register that name or something.
I mean, it's a good name, so if you could own it and you know, you start
it,
doing
it took
real,
me
a good
so
one.
Long to come up with that name, and I was like, what would be funny, you know, or something catchy, because like I think if you hear, I always thought if you heard something and it like resonated, you were like, man, that is funny as shit, that's a cool name, you know. And yeah, I was always the guy that was like, hey Blaze, let's do this, come on, come on. He's like, no dude, I'm a marketing guy, you know. Like we went through and we made sure we had all social media covered, you know, even on Facebook, you know. We was like, well, we're gonna, I think like for us is like, we're not taking advantage of it as much, but we wanted to make sure we had everything covered, because we've seen people that like create a Twitter account, you know, and then they turn around and so no one, that person can't actually get it. So that person actually has to buy it from somebody. And I'm like, what? And I was like, but that's how it is. There's a lot of people that looking to make a quick buck, you know, and they'll do it off of anybody and everybody, you know. And it's just a shame, you know. You're like, man, I'd be like,
yeah, that's one of the first things you do. And also when you said the name of the podcast, I was immediately like, this is a good name, don't change it, you know. It's perfect. And it's like, when my name's Joachim, most people know that, but I wanted something more cool and international, so I came up with Joachim Blaze. I checked all major, that was back in 2015, I checked all major social medias if the name was available, and I had some other names that I tried before, but every time one or the other social media had the name, and this name didn't have any of them, so I was like, okay, I'm going with this name, and I took all possible social media names, even though some of them I'm not even using, but they registered to me, you know. So I always think it's really important when you think about a name for content creation or music or whatever, that you should have it covered, that all the stuff are available, like you say, Junket.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another kind of really good point that I have when people are coming to me about like deciding a name for their business or as an artist name. It's like, yeah, you should make sure you can get the name that you want on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Check out what if there's a domain. Like, you need to have it so it's uniformed. I always find it, you know, an issue when you have different names on different things. Like, it's a lot easier, as you say, to be like, you know, Justin J E S Q on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and JustinJacobson.com. Like, it just looks easier than having to say you know, Justin JGG on Twitter, and you know, GG Justin on Instagram, and underscore Justin J here. And it just doesn't look as proper, and especially on marketing materials, it just doesn't look as clean or professional.
I mean, it's just like, well, let me ask you this, because you have experience, because I want people to that listen to this podcast, is that what is the average cost to say if we wanted to trademark, say, Fragging and Lagging Podcast, just so people can get an idea of the steps and the financial side of what it would cost to actually trademark that name?
Well, yeah, I mean, the first step is, you know, I would always suggest is what we call a trademark screening search. And that's where we kind of see what's out there. We see what's registered, what things might be an issue, or to get one of these all clear where there's no issues. You know, that's always what I hope for, where if I type in a bunch of things and nothing comes up and you have like zero results for all these different terms, that's a great search result. That means you're not going to have to worry about, oh, someone called Fragging Podcast, or you know, because you gotta understand there's what's called phonetic equivalence, and you know, plural and singular is really the same, you know, whether you're boys or boy. For trademark purposes, those are the same. Whether you're extreme with an X or extreme with an EX, it's the same phonetic equivalent. Or you're blue, BULU, or BUL, you know, the real way with the E at the end, they're equivalent. So you have to kind of start doing these searches to see what's out there. And if there's something that would be an issue, you need to know about it so that you can then fashion your application. Or if there's something that's really going to be an issue, it's like, hey, well, you really can't use this name. Because then you have a problem where if you are successful or you do file it and they have a trademark monitoring service, they're going to get a notice. And then they're going to send you a letter and then they're going to oppose it. And then you're going to have a problem. And it's one of these things where you do the search, and if it's all clear, then you do as you know, with the searches, you know, cost a couple $100, you know, $300-$400. And then after that, if it's clear, you file the trademark application. And, you know, then those have different prices, and probably, you know, but $1,000 to $1,250, maybe $1,500 is, you know, probably a pretty, you know, reasonable rate. And then it's, you know, there's a $250 filing fee per class. So if you're going for one class or two or multiple classes, that, you know, kind of fits in there. And it's one of these things where, you know, you get the registration, it's good for 5 years. And then after 5 years, you renew it for another 5 years. And then you do the 10-year renewal, and then it renews every 10 years. So you're really kind of buying this name that you have for 5 years and another five, and you keep every 10 years renewing it as long as you're using it. So it's one of these assets that'll keep sustaining value as long as you keep up with it. So, you know, think about some of these brand names that have endured. Like, think about how much the name McDonald's is worth. And they have McDonald's, they have the M logo, they have I'm loving it. All their different slogans are all protected, and they're all assets of the company.
Mickey D's, I mean, I'm sure things like that are all, yeah. I mean, it's just...
The Golden Arches.
Yeah, I mean, I've just wanted to actually, yeah, that, like you said, that number is like the sticker shock right off the door. I mean, how many people do you think...
But it's not a lot, though, because you have to understand that, like... It's really not a lot for the amount of work that goes into it and the value that you get from it. And it's like, you know, a copyright, the filing fee is $65. So that's obviously a lot cheaper because it's all relative, the amount of work involved in it. So it's like the value you get from the trademark and the work that goes into preparing it and filing the application and putting in the specimens. And then, you know, they always have a problem. I don't know what's going on with the government lately, but they're always sending office action letters. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to make up for lost time, but there's just always something that you have to do. They didn't like the specimen. You didn't space it properly. You have an extra period somewhere. It's very finicky, and it's like you have to do it right, because if you don't do it right, they're going to issue you a letter, and if you don't answer it in time, then you're going to lose the application. So it's like... That's where a lot of the cost is kind of perfecting the application, helping it go through. So, you know, I think it all kind of comes down to the level of attorney. People can always use LegalZoom, and, you know, that's always been a thing where it's like, oh, well, I'll just go on LegalZoom to do it. It's like, okay, well, go on LegalZoom. But Google LegalZoom issues and see all the issues that people have with using LegalZoom. And, you know, I love when people file a trademark with LegalZoom and then they have issues and come to me. Because it's like, okay, well, you just spent all your money for nothing. And now you're going to have to pay me anyway. And because you tried to be slick, you might even get upcharged a little bit more because, you're so smart.
You tried the back door, and then now guess what? I'm coming in the front door.
And at the end of the day, if you would have just done it right, yeah, like maybe $1,000, $1,500 sounds like a lot, but if you break it down to $100 a month, and, you know, then it's like this asset's over 5 years, and of how important it is because of what it represents. Like, think about how important Dr. Disrespect is. What is that name in? It's on merchandise. It's going to be a movie. It's a book. Like, that name is worth millions of dollars. The name. You understand the name, and if he doesn't have the rights and a registered trademark,
I was gonna do it. I was gonna be like, yeah, the name, is doctor. But wait, I might have just had that's like I'm sure that's like little things that are that he. Everything, like you said, everything about him is copywritten. So, like if you go to any YouTube channel, it says this is not Dr. Disrespect's channel, you know, this is his real channel. But I mean, I just wanted really, like when you were saying, is that I think the thing everybody wants to be able to see a dollar amount before they go, and they don't see, like you said, you know, 5 years down the road, then another 5 years, then 10. They don't see like the potential for protecting yourself down the road. You know, they're just like, everyone wants, you know.
That's the contract issue too, right? That's like the same thing where they only can see 2 feet in front of them. They can't see the bigger picture.
And I think
I'm going to sign what's here.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's kind of like, you know, what we've been talking about, where it's like they're just so happy and they can only think about today and tomorrow that they just sign whatever. And it's like, oh, I'll figure it out. Like, you know, a year from now, 6 months from now, and then 2 months into it, you don't do so well and the team benches you. And a lot of these contracts, if you get benched, they might give you half salary or they might just give you a less of what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And if you didn't realize that.
Or nothing.
Yeah, no, they have to give you something. Especially the major teams, the tier one orgs, if you're benched, you're going to still get your salary, but it might not be the full amount.
Yeah.
But even then, like, if you're used to making $10,000 a month and all of a sudden you get benched and you're making half of that, that's going to really impact everything, you know?
Ooh.
Right? I mean, you don't think about that, but it really does happen. I mean, I feel like players are getting benched from Valorant and Call of Duty League and Overwatch almost weekly at this point.
Oh, I would say,
daily.
Yeah.
So if they don't have savvy lawyers and managers and people in their, you know I always fight against that. Like, no, you can't lower their salary, or maybe you can only do a little bit, or how do we do that? Because as a, you know, someone who's working with talent, you know that this is very, very important, the stream of income. And if they're going to lose half of it of something that's completely out of their control, that's a problem.
And,
I mean,
you know,
if I would negotiate a contract to be a pro player for a team, my thing behind it would be like, hey guys, benching me or not, I want this amount at least every month on my, you know, bank account, so I can live from it or survive from it or whatever. And if I'm on the team, give me a bonus or something to reward me, so that we, you know, that I can survive. But it's like with a job, you know, when you sign for a job, you want a certain income so you can pay your bills every month and then pay for your family or whatever, or put some money aside. And if you do well at your job and you get bonuses for it because you do well, that's good, you know? So I'd rather be assured from a certain amount that I can survive off. And I think a lot of those people don't really realize if they get benched that they can't live from it anymore, you know?
Yeah, and they don't, like you said, they don't even read the contract. So they might not even know that, you know, there's a clause that says if you're not on the starting lineup, we can reduce your salary by X. And
oh, man.
Trust me, they're going to do it. You know, they're going to reduce your salary if they're allowed
to. Why should I pay you, you know, I mean.
Why should I pay you full amount when you're a bench warmer?
Yeah, I mean, it's my thing too, though. I think this, especially nowadays with the generation of kids now, they want to be part of something, and they want like instant gratification. You know, it's like everyone wants to feel that they have that value, and justifiably so. But I think the thing, like you touched base on, like Blaze touched base on, and you did, Justin, is that people will do whatever they can for the now, versus the now, tomorrow, the day after, 7 years down the road. And
6 months. You don't have to look 7 years. 6 months from now, I always use the H1Z1 example in my lectures of, this is literally a game that all these major teams made a league. They spent $1 million buy-in. They signed all these players. There's going to be all these huge stuff going on. And then you have three games in the same genre come out around the same time. You know, PUBG and Fortnite, we know, became mega. And then you had Apex Legends also. And the market was just flooded. And H1Z1 lost 91% of its player base literally overnight. And that was it. That was the end of the H1Z1 league. Everyone dropped their players. Everyone dropped their teams. And as you mentioned at the beginning of this, that was the end of the H1Z1 players' pro careers. And it just happened in a blink of an eye.
A lot of those players didn't get paid, or, you know, had to pay their hotels and stuff by themselves and were going to get paid back, but never got paid back. And there's so many stories behind that leak finishing that weren't, you know, handled well because they signed certain contracts with orcs and didn't read their contracts, that some of them even had financial headaches because of it, you know. People left home, people left their jobs to join that league, so they took risks, and because of it all, you know, going down, they lost a lot of money. And even at some point I was considering, because I was back then, let's say a semi-professional H1 player, I was even considering trying to join a team, but then I weighed the pros and the cons, and I had my kid on the way, and I was like, I can't do this financially. It's going to be too dangerous. It's going to be too much of a risk. And I saw from one Orca contract, and I was like, I would never sign this shit,
like,
to say the bad word, you know? But
And
then it's the same thing. If a lot of streamers, they suddenly overnight become popular, and I'm really happy for them, and then they get like a bunch of donations, they get a bunch of subs, even 3,000 or whatever, and they're like, okay, I'm going pro streaming, I quit my job and this and that. And what I always tell them, and they're always surprised, I'm like, I'm happy for you, you have these donations, I'm happy for you, you have these subs, but that's now. And you don't know if you're going to have the same amount of subs next month or donations. So the only reason, and that's the reason I never went full-time streamer, the contracts that I had with companies weren't on too long term or not valuable enough in my eyes to quit a full-time job for and take the risk to go full-time streaming. I always say, if you go full-time streamer, you gotta at least be able to live off your sponsor contracts, and all the rest, the subs, the donations, whatever around it, or the opportunities you get, they're bonuses. And those bonuses you use to put on aside and for the months that maybe you won't have that sponsorship anymore, and you wanna try to continue pursue your dream and be sure that you have, you know, financial security. And a lot of people are like, yeah, we'll see, I'm doing good now, I'll just do it, you know. And then I'm like, no, don't. But yeah, not everybody listens, of course.
Yeah, that was great advice. I really think that it's a really kind of a good mindset where it's okay, this is my set income, I know I'm gonna make x amount a month from my team and my sponsors, and everything else is just added gravy. And you know, I'm sure that Frozone, when he was on, told you of, you know, he was streaming maybe Fortnite for like over a year and a half, just do the grind. And then Warzone came out, and 6 months later, he's a mega Fortnite guy. You know, his Frozone became a mega star in the Warzone community, top 5 kills, top 10 in prize winnings, and his numbers just grew exponentially. And there was no way to see that coming. It was new game, you're better at it, just so many things happen in this time frame that you have to plan for it. Like, let's even use the example of Ninja that we talk about all the time. Are you telling me that he thought that that was going to happen? Like, people knew about Ninja before Fortnite came out. You know, Luminosity, he was signed to, and he was doing other games. But the right game came out. He was one of the early adopters. Everything worked. And now he's where he is. But there was no way to predict that was going to happen 2 months or 3 months or however many months before. So it's one of these things where it goes one way or the other, where out of nowhere you could become huge. And then that same token, everything can evaporate when a new game comes out that maybe you're not as good at or you don't like. And, you know, the audience now is going to somebody else because they're the new whatever game top dog and you're not anymore. And overnight, everything could just change. And if, you know, they didn't kind of take your advice of kind of planning for the downswing. And I think that's one of the things where attorneys and, you know, professionals come in, where it's like, yeah, everything is great and it's all rainbows and butterflies now. But what happens when it's not? What happens when, you know, the sponsorship money that the team thought was going to happen didn't come, or the prize money gets delayed, or the deal that was supposed to happen folds at the end? Let me tell you, that team is not going to be able to pay you, and there's going to be issues. And it's one of these things where if you didn't foresee things going bad and you didn't build into your contract, you're probably going to be in a bad position. You know, like, there's no reason why you should be on a team that hasn't paid you for 3, 4, 5, however many months. I've talked to kids that they didn't get paid for like 6 or 7 months. And I'm just like, I don't understand what's going through your head. I was like, I bet you if you would have just put a looking for team post, let me tell you, you were going to get paid. You were going to, you know, like, things was going to happen if you told the world you're a free agent and you're not on this team anymore. And the guy doesn't pay you, so you're not on this team as far as I'm concerned. So it's just one of these things where I think it's just about the individual being involved in it, not really understanding it, and not really thinking that they have the power to do anything about it.
And I think you nailed it, and Blaze nailed it too, is that, you know, there's people that can't stand Ninja. But if you look at his business savvy, because he has the right mentality, and he said it before, is that he knows that tomorrow it could end. And but he knows that he's financially taken care of for the rest of his life, let's face it. But, I mean, how many, like, look at H1Z1. There's a lot of people that were very successful as streamers playing H1Z1. Now, when that game died, so did their streams, unfortunately. Those people that were doing it full-time were like, man, I got to get a job now, you know?
At the Best Buy.
So, and you're like, hey, didn't I see you on Facebook, you know, playing this game? It's like, yeah, what do you want? You know, the new iPhone's out, you know, not sponsored. Hashtag.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, but... And the luck I had was that I did do the H1Z1 thing, and I'm not going to repeat everything. Everybody knows that by now. But the thing is, I had the chance to go to a lot of events. I met a lot of bigger streamers. At some point, I was one of the fastest growing Twitch streamer in Europe. I remember talks with, for example, Soda Poppin, who's an OG streamer who does random games, and people watch him for him. And I think what he did good is that people watch him for him, not what game he plays, but for his personality. And I did have a talk with him, and he said to me, like, honestly, I was lucky because back when it was just in TV, there wasn't so much streamers and you could kind of do what you want. And if you did it the right way, you would Insta get popular, you know. And he even told me, and that was back in 2016, if I would do the same thing right now that I did a few years back, I would only have 20 viewers. I wouldn't get out there anymore. And that was a conversation in 2016. Like, even like now with Rona and everything and so many people streaming, it's even harder to get out there. And what I've learned, for example, is it's really important to brand your personality, to be somebody and not be about only you're the best player at this game, because tomorrow if that game dies, you're not the best gamer at anything anymore. And you can start grinding another game again, and maybe you'll be the best again at it, but maybe you won't be the best at that game. So, for example, me going to Dutch streaming, like Junkhead knows, and I know he's like, you sometimes come into my stream to say hi, but the big difference between me back then and now is I stream a lot of different games, and I try to build a group of people around me that are there to talk with me and to have fun with me. And okay, I can be good or decent at certain games, but that's less important to me. It's more important to have people that want to be there to talk to you and be in your stream. And I know they will be there if I play Formula One. I know they will be there if I play Mortal Kombat tomorrow. And I'll know they'll be there the day after if I play Grand Theft Auto, for example. And it's really... it's a dangerous thing to be good at one game, I always say, you know. It's always good, even though you're good at that game, to in between do some stuff so people get to know you and also come for you, you know. Because I, like you said, Junkhead, a lot of people dropped down when H1Z1 died because that was it. That was the only thing they had. And I once in my life had the same thing when CSGO gambling died on Twitch and you couldn't stream that anymore because that was my main thing on stream. And I dropped from hundreds of viewers to 50 viewers or 90 viewers, you know? And suddenly I had to like rebrand myself and look for myself. And luckily back then I found H1Z1. But you're not always that lucky. And well, the only advice I can give to people, when you stream and do these kind of things, make it about you. And we had a good guest in our previous podcast, that was Avery. Avery, she's good at Warzone, but it's not only about Avery playing Warzone, it's about Avery as a brand, as a personality, as a model, as a funny person, as everything. So even if Warzone would not be there tomorrow anymore, the people that like to watch Avery will still be around, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I think I finished
preaching.
Well, yeah, I think that's great advice, and you know, we'll kind of bring it towards the end with that. I mean, that kind of goes to like the crux of all of this, of the esports and gaming dichotomy, where it's like pro players, and you know, why I explain it is like they're just extremely, extremely good at the game. They're, you know, Overwatch, League of Legends, Valorant, Call of Duty, etc. And then you have the more streamers and content creators who it's more about personality and flair and pizzazz. Yeah, they're good at the game, but I guarantee you if they're going to Warzone with the comp kids, they're not going to stand a chance. You know, the League of Legends streamer is not going to stand a chance against the Team Liquid Stars. But the point is the Team Liquid Stars, like you said, once the game goes away or once they're no longer able to compete, if they didn't create this more unique persona where people like them for them, it's over for them. And, you know, my approach with Ford, which, you know, I guess will be the way to kind of bring us all together, is I looked for people that were more personalities, that straddled the different worlds. Like, you know, Hip Hop Gamer, he's this Hot 97, which is this mega hip hop station in New York. He's a gaming guy. He raps in music. He does art. He does fashion. He does charity. He's a lot more than just a streamer or good at a game. You know, Arielle Power is a WNBA player. She's signed to Team Liquid, and she streams almost every day, but she's also a professional basketball player. She won a WNBA championship. She won a gold medal with Team USA. Like, she was a top five pick in the draft. Like, she's much more than just the gamer, you know? Like you mentioned Avery, she's this former pageant contestant turned streamer. You know, everyone is much more than just being really good at a game, because to really succeed, especially now and especially with the brands and the more mainstream ones, you have to have a personality. You have to be able to be on camera. You have to have something more than just being good at the game. And that's always when people ask me, like, what do you look for? I look for you being good at the game, and then what else? I like fashion. I like music. I like sports. I like working out. And the people that we sign and develop, we try to flesh out these other ideas. Like Skeptic, you know, is a Fortnite streamer that we worked with. He signed to Misfits, and we're building up his more fashion side because he loves sneakers and, you know, cool Supreme and all these lifestyle brands. So you have to start diversifying and bringing that a little bit more into the forefront as part of your messagery so people see that. So they're not just looking at you for Fortnite, because yeah, Fortnite could disappear one day. Like the way Fortnite Mobile just disappeared. Like, I was talking to a Fortnite Mobile top player, trying, you know, seeing what we could do. And then Fortnite Mobile got banned, and that was the end of my conversation, because his game was just done and I didn't know what he was going to do. He ended up recovering and being able to do some mobile games. But the point is any day support or interest could evaporate. A new game could come out that becomes the new thing. And if you're people are only tuning in for one game or you competing at one level, not for just you as the personality, it might just be over for you. So I don't even really look for those talent. I think that there's only so much that you can do for them. It's really only based on their player contract and maybe their tournament winnings, and maybe they'll get some endemic brands, but a Prada or a Gucci or an Oakley or a Gillette or a Doritos, they're not going to be interested in someone that they can't put on camera or stream or doesn't have a personality or isn't funny or engaging. Like, it's just not going to translate. They're not going to be able to get the full value as opposed to someone who has that on-camera pizzazz, has that certain flair that true entertainers have. You know, you can't really describe it. It's just this thing you know. When you know, you know.
Man, you guys, please, 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 please listen to what he's saying, because there's more value. That's free advice from a lawyer that some lawyers, you know, just to talk to you can't get that. So, and I know that we're coming to the end of the podcast because Justin has another very important meeting that he has to go to, or it's going to be in trouble. So, and we don't want him in trouble, because then he's going to come after us, and Lord knows Blaze can't afford it. So, I'm sorry. The only thing I wish you could do is create a movement of lawyers to go after scam artists and people with GPUs. That's all I want. These people with bots. So.
I still need my PS5, so I'm really not a fan of bots either.
So, we always do something called two random questions that we started doing this season. So I ask a random question. I think mine's gonna be pretty easy. Blaze asks one. So do you want me to go first, Blaze, or you want to go first?
You go, brother.
Okay. New York guy, 100%. Yankees, yes. Or Mets?
Yankees, Jets, Rangers, Knicks.
Oh, there you
that
go.
That was too easy, Junket. Dude, come on.
Oh, come on now. I had to.
That was too easy, dude.
You
come
always
on.
Ask these. Okay, all right. I don't know if you can. Okay, then I'll ask another non-easy one. So being the position you're in right now, if you could represent one content creator out there that is not under any contract, who would be your dream? If you can, who would be your dream client that you would love to have under the armada?
I mean, who wouldn't want Jay-Z or Kanye, you know? But I love Amon. I say one person that I'm really happy to be working with is Amon Green. Being a superstar running back who's also just so passionate and enthusiastic about gaming, and you know, he coaches college esports, so he really enjoys giving back and creating his pipeline. So I think I'm working with some really unique people, and you know, I'm just hoping to get them to continue to grow.
Yeah, we had a blast with Amon to the point where he's like, dude, I'll give you my number, we can set this back up, we'll run it back. And I was like, man, I don't want your number. It would be cool to say, oh, look, dude, let me call Amon Green, you know, and Green Bay Packer, you know, kind of thing, you know. But I was like, just coordinate with Justin. So, all right, well, Blaze, your time to shine. Don't fuck up.
Damn. I'll have two questions. First question is, do you have time to play video games, Justin? And which games do you play?
Yes, I definitely, you know, try to game. Like I play NBA 2K almost every day. That's definitely, you know, something that I've always had. And
is it your go-to game to relax and to like let off the pressure?
Yeah, like I usually like to, you know, before COVID, out every morning, wake up and play a game in the morning, just like before I go into work. It like lets me just think and decompress. Now it's kind of the same thing where I hopefully get in an hour or two. You know, and then on Saturday and Friday nights, I grind at night. So I definitely am playing for a couple hours at night. And I also have been playing this Marvel mobile game for a few years. That's like my on-the-go kind of thing. And, you know, every once in a while, I dabble in some StarCraft 2 when I get that itch.
Okay, I can dig it. And I like NBA 2K, by the way. Okay, my last question. For the future, what would be your dream accomplishment, like company-wise or personal-wise or whatever, you can choose.
I mean, I've always said that I would have loved to, you know, see one of my clients kind of, you know, headlining at Madison Square Garden or, you know, something like that. But two summers ago, one of my clients was, you know, brought on stage at Electric Zoo, which is a huge EDM festival, and just seeing her rock out to like 30,000 people is just, that was pretty awesome. So I guess now we'll have to go with, you know, seeing someone that you're working with win, you know, like a huge accomplishment, win, you know, a championship. I think that would be really exciting.
Man, I think honestly that it's going to happen because the clients you represent, I know there's a lot of content creation that are there, but you do have professional esports athletes. And in my book, esports athletes are real athletes. If you ask anybody, it's like, man, the grind is real. You know, you may go to practice for a couple of hours, but these people are out there grinding for like 10 hours a day, perfecting their craft. So, for me and Blaze, I want to say thank you, Justin, for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And for coming on and being a part of the Fraggin family. You guys, all of Justin's information is going to be in the description below. And also the link for his book. And please, if you're not sure, just go ahead and read the book. And if you're, is it an esports book yet? I mean, an Audible book yet?
Yeah, it's ebook, hardcover, soft cover. Like, the hardcover is expensive. Go with the soft cover, but you know.
Are you even asking, Junket? I was sure that he covered all his bases.
I'm sure. I should have known. It was just a test, and he passed. So that way, you guys, if you're not big on reading, you guys, just buy the ebook and just listen to it wherever you're going. You're going on a road trip somewhere, pop it in. Because, like I said, he's giving you a lot of experience and advice that are you can't put a dollar amount on. Because if you don't, the dollar amount that you're expecting on one side is not going to roll in your favor. So
And don't forget, we're also going to link his podcast where there's like more legal talk about esports and other stuff.
Legally. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Be sure to check that out as well. And guys, if you even lost in your head half of the episode right now, go and listen to it again, because the advice that Justin gave and the experience that Junkhead and I shared, listen to it, guys. Soak it in. Think about it and make the right decisions in life. Don't always rush everything. Think about what you do. And if you think about it 24 hours extra, it won't be a major change in your life. It would be a change in your life if you make the wrong decision and if you sign something without being sure of something. So that's something I will take with me from talking with Justin as well.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It was, you know, a real pleasure to finally get to really chop it up with you both. And, you know, everyone out there is listening, you know, check me out on Twitter, JustinJESQ. My DMs are open. So if you have any questions, I'm more than willing to, you know, talk with you and try to see if I can put you on the right direction.
There you go, you guys and gals. I mean, this has been an awesome, like, this is one I've been really looking forward to the most, because now you get to talk to, you get to hear someone with the experience that's driving all his clients in the right direction. So, once again, on behalf of me and Joaquin Blaze, thank you very much for being a part of the Fraggin family. You are more than welcome to come on anytime. If we have to get rid of Blaze, I'll send you the contract and see that it makes sure it's okay. Blaze, I'm sorry.
Really,
every episode I always try to get rid of Blaze. It's been a running
joke.
I'm
wondering where my contract is, actually. I think I'm going to have a talk with Justin later.
UE signed it.
Right, we got to renegotiate this.
Justin, he signed it. So, but on behalf of me and Joaquin Blaze, once again, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy day, because I know you are always busy. And
playing NBA 2K. No, that's a joke.
and doing his thing. So
don't blow up my spot.
No, don't. Exactly. I mean, because you're looking at somebody that's a lawyer, an esports lawyer, a professor, and he's actually an author. So that's about like five things that me and Blaze haven't done yet. So we need to get busy. You guys, whatever podcast platform you listen to it on, make sure you give us a big 5-star rating. Download it. It's a little bit lengthy, so you have that to go and listen to along with Justin's ebook. And you guys get out there and game and keep fracking out, because if not,
you're probably lagging.
Mom! 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 Get the camera! I gotta kill! Mom, I gotta kill! Oh yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas!